Sing all four verses, please.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Westminster Baptist Church in this beautiful, brisk Sunday morning. There are binders in your aisles here, or your pews. Would you please fill your name and information out on there? If you're visitors today, we'd love to know more about you so we could contact you. And we just love having you here. We're just going to give the Lord a great praise today. Let us pray. Precious Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much, Lord, for being here in our presence, for lifting us up when we are down, for helping us to be happy when we're happy, and Lord, we just praise you that you are our great God. Praise you, Lord, you'll be here with us as we hear the message today. Lord, burn it in our hearts, Lord, that we may truly be servants of yours. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Herb. Our next song is our offertory. We're going to sing Serve the Lord with Gladness. That's hymn number 495.
Good morning, everyone. I wanted to let you all know that I have accepted a student and family pastor position at Faith Family Church in Sykesville. I will be starting on April 22nd. If my that last Sunday here will be April 8th, so I'll be in the office the week after that, and then some vacation for my family. I want you to know I love Westminster Baptist Church dearly, and I've been so appreciative of my time here, that the opportunities I've had, the friends that I have, that I know will last for many, many years to come. Even some, you know, important leaders, you know. And I do want to point out some that have been just such a blessing to me. I know Larry gave me an opportunity. And, you know, here we have Lynn, who's really grown into a great friend of mine. And Don, you know, Don, he gets praised for a lot of things, rightfully. But one thing that people don't really realize about him sometimes is just how amazingly humble the guy is. Just incredibly so. Really teachable and always wants to grow. And especially I want to give thanks to Glenn. You know, he's been a dear friend to me. And it's just really been amazing seeing him lead, especially through the kind of this interim process. I think he's just really done an extraordinary job and is a great blessing to Westminster Baptist Church. A huge help and a wonderful pastor for Westminster Baptist Church. That we do love you all, that with me moving on, there will be some needs for more people to serve in children's ministry. So I'll make this my last time where I'm begging people to serve in children's ministry. But sincerely, for the sake of unity of the church and continuation, if you're able, we would love to have you help, even if it's for just a short-term period, whatever that term might be. And if so, just please contact me or Deborah Luckadoo, and we'll set up to have you help out on an infrequent basis. And so, again, we love you all so much. My wife and I have just loved so much, love this body and want the best things, and have just so many great friends in this congregation. Thank you.
God bless you, Tony. You are greatly loved.
If I could have the deacons come forward that are present this morning, one of them pray for Pastor Tony. Let's go to the prayer. Father, we thank you for Pastor Tony. We thank you for his service here. We thank you for his commitment to you and his love for you. We thank you for his zeal for the gospel, for his philosophy of ministry, for family worship and family discipleship, Lord. He's laid out so many good things here for this church, and I pray that we can continue them. And I pray as he goes to Faith Family in a couple weeks, Lord, that you would bless his ministry amazingly, that you would gather around him the volunteers he needs to make his ministry work exceedingly well. And Lord, for us here, I pray that you would fill this void with someone with the same passion to go forward with their ministry for the children and our young adults. And Lord, we love this man, and we know that you love him, and may he always feel welcome to be able to come in here at any time and worship with us, Lord. So thank you for his service. Thank you for his time here with us, Lord. Even though it was short, we add our blessings to him, knowing that we will continue to pray for Danielle and Tony and his family. Lord, thank you for Pastor Tony. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. And while the deacons are here, I'm going to ask, I think Tim Noor is here somewhere. Is Tim here? Yeah, right there. Sorry. I was looking way down the line too far. And we'd like someone to pray over us for, or Pastor Tony, for the Haiti team commissioning. Don and Tim and myself and Brandon Dull and Pastor Larry, the five of us, will be headed to Haiti Thursday morning at 3 a.m. And we'll be gone for a week. And we're going to be doing the pastor's conference. We'll be doing some community mapping. We will be visiting the sick, praying through the village again. We plan on doing some discussions about building the wall for the church and the school that they want to attach to that. We want to have some meetings with two other pastors in McAtee as well to show unity, to include them in what we're doing for the future. And we want to have a tour of the hospital and look at some possible medical teams that we could send down the route as well. So a lot on the agenda, but as always, when we get there, we'll see what God wants to do. All right. So Pastor Tony, would you pray for us, please?
Father God, I come before you and I give you thanks so much for the Haiti team, Lord. I thank you for Glenn's leadership in it, as well as Don's leadership in other ways as well, Lord, and Larry's, Father. And I pray, Father, that you'd bless this team as they go, Lord. I pray that they would be safe, Father, that they would have a good flight, no issues, Lord, no rocky flights, as I know they've had before sometimes, Lord. And I pray, Father, that you'd bless their time in McAtee, Father, and especially the pastor's conference, Lord. And I pray, Father, that you'd work through Glenn and Larry and Don and everyone on that team, Father, Tim and Don, Father. And I pray that you would Father, you bless every opportunity they have, Lord. Let them have opportunities to present your gospel to people and equip the churches there in Haiti for the sake of sharing your gospel, Lord. And I pray, Father, that they would be encouraged by their brothers in you and their sisters in you down in Haiti, Father, that they would grow in greater unity with our sister church down there, Father. And I pray, Lord, that you just bless their ministry, Father, and just let them have a wonderful week, Father. And Lord, as much as it is exciting, Father, and I pray, Father, that they'd have great opportunities, but I pray also, Father, that they'd be able to enjoy themselves and enjoy their time serving you, Father, alongside great brothers of the faith, Lord. And I ask this all in your son's holy and righteous name. Amen.
And also, while we have Don up here, one more matter of business this morning before we have a choir number. I had shared last week that we would be presenting Don Klapka with his license, certificate of license to preach. And so Don, this certificate says, this is to certify that Don Klapka, who has given evidence that God has called him on to the gospel ministry, was licensed to preach the gospel as he may have opportunity and to exercise his gifts in the work of the ministry. And it's by Westminster Baptist Church. And Pastor Tony and I have signed it. Today's date, March 11th, 2018. God bless you, my brother. And we have a surprise for you, Don. We can't surprise you in the second service, but we can in this service. Before the choir sings, we have a special PowerPoint that Barbara put together for you.
Well, I hope I have my mic on. Can you guys hear me okay? Good morning. Wow. Wow. What a service so far. Man, I actually feel great, but at the same time, I'm like, I had to give my certificate back because I have to get it presented again next service. So I hope you guys will bear with me as I try and get through today's message. Wow. A lot of emotions today. That was a great PowerPoint presentation. Barbara, thank you so much, wherever she is, for putting that together. Great memories. But they were memories of serving God and serve Him with WBC. That's what I'll cherish. That's what I'll have joy with. Well, today I want to kind of talk to you about a message that came to me over the past few weeks, that where are we at as a church? What is going on? And what does God expect of us? And so I went to the Psalms. So today you're going to get a message from the Psalm, Psalm 100. But I want you to go back and reflect where you were a year ago today. Think about WBC a year ago. I started to contemplate. We had four pastors. And then it wasn't too long after that that two of them said they were going to be retiring. And today we hear another one is moving on to go serve in God's kingdom to expand. Now some of you may go, woe is us. We're down to one. But you know, I just heard Pastor Larry share yesterday, there are churches with no pastors that are seeking, that are praying, God, help us. And yet, we should be praising God. We've got godly men leading this church, and other godly men are going in different directions. And each one of you is part of the body. We go through times of difficulties, but I looked at what was going on. We had a house fire that kept Pastor Glenn from going on a mission trip. We could have all went, well, it was us. Oh, my gosh. But God got the glory. Because not only was the mission team still able to go to Haiti, and you saw that great picture of 250 kids in that church, but Pastor Glenn was then able to minister to someone who had just experienced the same thing of a house fire, and he was able to say, I've been there. I've done that. And you'll get through it with the love of God. And let me share with you about this message, about who Christ is, that gospel message. So you think about where we're going, the struggles we're going through, and I went, oh no. We've had some loss in the family. We've had some illnesses, some passing away. And it's a time of mourning. But a lot of times we look at all of these things and they all seem negative to us because our emotions are being stirred. And they overshadow sometimes the really good things that we've been doing as a church. And I wrote some of these down. Over the past year or two, we've had marriages. We've had the birth of babies. Amen? What a joy that is. We've had new members join. We've had brothers and sisters in Christ accepting the Lord as their Savior. Joining the kingdom. We've had one of your deacons just receive a certificate to preach. These are exciting things, but a lot of times they get overshadowed by the woe is me, oh no, the sky is falling type events. Today, I want to share with you what our church is and what God wants us to be. I have experienced over the past 12 years that our church is a church that preaches God's word. Okay? Over the past year, when we started to hear of our pastors retiring, we became a church of prayer. We began meeting together in small pockets of groups and praying. We've been praying for God to do something. And folks, guess what? He is doing something. Your prayers are being answered. God answers those prayers as soon as you say it. And thirdly, today, I really want to share what this church should become. It should become a church of praise. Praise in the good times and praise in the bad. And so now that I've got you fired up and I've got you excited to know what scripture verse I'm going to actually go from, I told you it's in Psalms, I'm going to pray and ask God to just bless this message, that you would have open ears to hear, and not just hear it, but take action, to actually do something. I got a book Thursday that says, just do something. And I want you guys to just think about today's message. And later on in the service, I'm going to ask you to do something. Are you a church of praise? Let's pray. Father, we come before you today, Lord. A beautiful day that we awake to come into your house, brothers and sisters in Christ. And maybe some that are here that are seeking, Lord, that haven't met you yet. But today is the day the Lord has made. And let us rejoice and be glad in it. God, I pray that today, as Psalm 119, 18 says, open our eyes that we would see wonderful things in your law. And today, Lord, as we share from Psalm 100, I pray that the body would be encouraged, that they would be joyfully praising your name, and God, giving you our best. And I lift this up to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So there it is. I gave you Psalm 100, and that's where we're going to go from today. No PowerPoint slides. I want you to focus on God's word, and I want you to just decide, what does God want of me today? Where am I at in life? Psalm 100 is five verses. It starts out like this. It says, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." As I first started to read Psalms, I wanted to know who was the author. And I was really excited. I wanted to dig into who this guy was. And it was unknown. So I can't do that. But then I realized that there are several other Psalms that kind of paralleled Psalm 100. And then I started reading a couple commentaries, and the commentaries all said that, well, Psalm 100 is kind of the final, they called it a doxology or a recap of Psalms 93 through 99. So that piqued my interest. What does Psalms 93 through 99 say? Do they say something similar to the five verses I just said? And if you think about those five verses, we were to just shout for joy to the Lord. Okay? We're to have a joyful song, may not a good, high-pitched, good song like my voice. I don't sing in the choir or in the praise team, but God just says, give me your best. Are we to give thanks to God? So I went back, and I'm going to start in Psalm 95, and I've got a couple things highlighted. Listen to some of these psalms, listen to the same theme, and realize that this Psalm 100 is that recap of everything that we've just experienced. Here it is, Psalm 95. I'm going to read a couple of first three verses, and I'll jump to verse 7. Psalm 95:1 says, "Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods." Verse 7 says, "We are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care." Wow, that sounds familiar. That sounds like what I just read in Psalm 100. Psalm 96 says, "Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise." Verse 9 through 11 says, "Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that is in it." Psalm 97, verses 1 says, "The Lord reigns. Let the earth be glad. Let the distant shores rejoice." Verse 6, "The heavens proclaim his righteousness. All the people see his glory." Verse 9, "O Lord, are the most high over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods." And verse 12 says, "Rejoice in the Lord, you who are righteous, and praise his holy name." Are you hearing the theme? Verse chapter 98 says, "Sing to the Lord a new song." Lynn, I'm recruiting new folks to join your choir because God is saying, keep singing, and you got a whole group here that's ready to start singing. So they're coming. Psalm 98, verse 3 through 4 says, "He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for joy to the Lord and all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King." Psalm 99, "The Lord reigns." Verse 2 says, "Great is the Lord in Zion." Verse 5 says, "Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. He is holy." And so today, those several chapters, getting up to chapter 100, the five verses, I want to give you three truths that I discovered from reading those five verses. Truth number one is that our joy for the Lord is not dependent on our circumstances. It didn't say to have joy only when we're happy, only when those babies are born or when there's a wedding. It said to shout for joy to the Lord. Our circumstances so many times get in the way. So I thought, well, what is this joy? Is it only around when we're happy? Can it be around when we're having a difficult time? So I did a Google search. That's that new technology I'm still learning. 200 times in the New Test, in the NIV, in the New International Version, the word joy is mentioned, or a derivative of joy, joyful. 200 times. 25% of those are in the book of Psalms. And I just about read about a handful of them. Joy isn't like happiness, which is based upon happenings or whether things are going well. Joy remains amidst our suffering. I looked up a definition and it said, joy is an emotion that's acquired by the anticipation, acquisition, or even the expectation of something great or wonderful. Well, you know what that something great or wonderful is? It's our God. And we worship Him. And that is where our joy comes from. You see, in Galatians 5:22, many of you may have this as your favorite scripture verse. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. I heard joy in there is a fruit of the Spirit. How do you get the Spirit? You get the Spirit by accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And then that Spirit thou gives you the different fruits. It doesn't say you get the fruit only when you're happy, you'll have joy. It says you have joy because you've been saved by Christ. Because you are now in the kingdom, you have joy. Now I get to use my favorite scripture verse of all times at this very moment. Pastor Glenn and Pastor Tony have mentored me through the years and said, please do not use this scripture verse when you go to a hospital and someone is in serious pain. So I actually had a deacon's meeting one night and said, guys, what scripture verses should we use? And Buddy gave me a great one from one of the Psalms. And I believe it was Psalm 20. Shake your head. Yes, he's given me the affirmation. Psalm 20. And I've got that highlighted. But my favorite verse that I will not use at a hospital visit, but applies here today about joy, is James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. Here it goes. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds. Because you know the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work so you become mature and complete, not lacking anything. That is what really got me. I have to consider joy when I'm going through difficult times. I did not want to hear Pastor Tony say, I am going to another place. God is leading me to another church. It's just down the street, but God is going there. Woe is us. No. Consider that joy. We're not woe is us. I tell you, if you can go to Haiti with us, you would see folks that are in poverty, that are in dire need, and yet they have joy because they come up and go, oh, a brother from the United States has come to pray with us. Wow, we're so blessed. Praise God. And they have nothing, and they're praising God. So consider joy when you go through those trials of many kinds. I had a trial of my own in 2009. It was a physical trial. Many of you probably experienced the same thing. I claim mine was from jumping out of airplanes, but I'll say that I bent over picking up a piece of little wood that was in my yard, and I herniated my L4, L5 disc, and I could not walk. For 2 months, I was in serious pain, and of course, after a day or two in the hospital, they gave me the walker, and I'm only in my 40s at the time. I'm not supposed to be on a walker in pain. I'm taking heavy meds, and I get home, and I couldn't do steps, and so my wife says, my brother-in-law is going to bring over a bed for us to put in the living room so you don't have to do steps, and you can still be down here. Well, the phone started calling. You all were calling to say, hey, can I come for a visit? And I was grumpy. No, don't tell them. Tell them I'm on meds. I don't want anybody to see me. Every week, Pastor Larry called, can he come by for a visit? No, I don't want nobody to see me. I'm in pain. I don't want nobody to see me this way. My pride was getting to me. I was getting miserable. My wife would try and please me, and I'd be like, I don't want food right now. I'm tired. I just want to get better. I want relief. And you know, I had no joy. And yet, I should have considered it pure joy when I went through that trial. Now, I can tell you 2 years later, I learned from that experience. 2 years later, I find myself at Sinai Hospital getting ready for heart surgery. At that time, I'm not worried. I've been walking with the Lord. I've been learning. I've been doing our men's Bible study. I've been going to men's conferences. I've been having pastors mentor me. And they said, joy is not by your circumstances, guys. And I said, okay, I'm going in for heart surgery. If the Lord's going to take me, then I'm going to have joy. If he's going to leave me here, then I got something else to do. And if you heard that song during my presentation, greater things are yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city. Well, that's what God said to me. He said, you got greater things coming. And so during my heart surgery, I had folks wanting to come visit. And I said, bring them on. And hopefully they got a scripture verse that would give me some enthusiasm and give me some excitement. Pastor Glenn came every single time. And every time the pastor had a message that was in a passage that had a reference to the heart. And I went, wow, I like that. I'm going to highlight that one. And so when I go scrolling through my Psalms, I see all those ones highlighted by the heart. And I remember, that was a difficult time, but I had joy. King David says in Psalm 27, 5 through 6, he says, for in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Jesus speaks to his disciples in Luke 6, 22 and 23. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven, for that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. One of my favorites that teacher Gary LaGates was leading our men's Bible study. We just recently had this in Acts chapter 6. We see an example, verses 24 and 25, where Paul and Silas are falsely accused and put in prison, which seemed to be the trend with Paul. Maybe it was just his demeanor. But he was flogged, and then they fastened him to the stocks. It's getting late, and the passage says, when he received these orders, the guard, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. What a witness. In a time of struggle, in a time of your most difficult, Paul and Silas are witnessing that they love the Lord. And you know the rest of that story? Soon after, an earthquake shakes and the chains fall off, and they're kind of set free. Well, the guard is petrified because he realizes that, oh no, if they escape, that my life is over. And so he goes to grab a sword and goes to put it on himself. And Paul cries out, wait, stop, we're still here. We're still here. And so the guard comes over, and after seeing that Paul's still there, he says, what must I do to be saved? And Paul has the perfect opportunity. After, during a time of struggle, during a time of trial, he has an opportunity to praise God and say, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved. That is what we're supposed to do as a church, to praise God in the good times and the bad. So my point number one is, joy for the Lord is not dependent upon our circumstances. And I shared with you in my opening prayer that Psalm 118, verse 24 says, this is the day the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it. Be glad in it whether we're going through difficult times, whether we're going through happy times, or whether we just are confused and not really sure what time we're in. You can always go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. There's a time for everything. You guys can read that on your own. But the second truth I want to share with you is that we belong to God. Verse 3 says, know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. This truth is that we are God's. We don't have time today for me to go back and read all of Genesis chapter 1 and talk about that creation. But wow, we are God's. He created us. A couple verses I want to share with you. Joshua 1:5 says, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hebrews 13:5-6 says, similar passage, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? And then Jesus proclaimed in John chapter 10, verse 14, he said, I'm the good shepherd. You remember we had a passage on the I Ams that Pastor Larry did several months back, and John chapter 10, verse 14 says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice. And there shall be one flock and one shepherd. We belong to God. John 3:16 gives us that affirmation. All of you know it. But I'm going to say it anyway because I love it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, the Good Shepherd, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. We belong to God, point number two. Finally, looking at my time, I think I'm doing pretty well. Point number three says, we are to give God thanks. We're to give thanks to the Lord. Did any of that say when or if or but? No. Regardless of what circumstances we're in today, we're to give thanks for the Lord. Verses 4 and 5 of that Psalm 100 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise, and give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. I went back and we're going to talk about building a wall. We're going to go to Makati and build a wall. And I thought, man, I know that's what Nehemiah did. But before they built the wall, you know what they built? They built the sanctuary. They built God's house. And so I went back to Ezra chapter 3, verse 11. And it says, with praise and thanksgiving, they sang to the Lord. He is good. His love toward Israel endures forever. And all the people gave a great shout of praise to the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Church, Westminster Baptist Church, the foundation that this church is laid on is on Jesus Christ. And we need to be praising no matter if there's two people in here or if there's 200 or 2,000. We are to be praising our God. We're to give thanks to the Lord. 1 John chapter 4, the truth about why we praise God is because of love, because of God's love. Dear friends, let us love one another. For love comes from God. Everyone who has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. That's the gospel message. That because of Jesus, because of his love, we're to give thanks to the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18 says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Well, I know over the past year that we've been doing those prayer groups, and I think you guys have been using that acrostic called Acts. Now, Gary's been teaching from the book of Acts, but I think your prayer Acts sounds something like this. Adoration. Confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. I had to look up what that word supplication meant, but it's really just praying for others, praying for you guys, praying for those friends and families, praying for the lost. And you guys have been a church of prayer. My three truths that I really want to focus on are from Psalm 100, verse 1 through 5. The truths are, joy for the Lord is not dependent on our circumstances. We belong to God. Amen? And we are to give thanks to the Lord. The psalm reads, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful song. You hear that? Come before him. That implies motion. It implies action. I'm going to give you a time to come before the Lord. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. I'm going to say a prayer right now, and then I'm going to be talking to three different groups of people here in this sanctuary today. Father, I just thank you for your psalm. God, I thank you that Joy is the word for today, that we're to come and shout for joy, sing songs for joy, that we're to move for joy. And God, we're to give you praise in the good times and the bad. Lord, I love you and I thank you for the time that I've had here at Westminster Baptist, a time to grow, a time to be sharpened, a time to be equipped to go and do the work that you want to be done. And God, those that are still here, you're not done with them. God, you have a mighty plan. And I pray that God, as the direction of this church moves forward, that you would bless Westminster Baptist Church, that you would bless the body of Christ that's here today. And God, that you would bring those into the kingdom for your glory. I lift this up to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So today, church, I've said that we are a church that reads from the Bible. The preachers preach God's word. We are a church that has been praying. And today, I want to extend an opportunity for this church to be a church of praise. You see, a time of praise sometimes means that we have to get up out of our chair. I'm not asking you to jump up and scream and raise your hands. We'll do that in a second service, maybe. But I'm asking you, are you willing to come to the Lord? You see, I'm going to do an altar call. And I know many of the youth in the second service, they don't understand what that altar call is. A lot of times in churches, we have given this altar a meaning of, you have to come if you don't know who the Lord is, and you've got to come forward and bow and kneel. Or if you've got sin in your life, you've got to come and bow before the Lord. But that's not what we just read in Psalms. We're to praise the Lord in the good and the bad. And we're supposed to give Him our best. And sometimes praising the Lord just doesn't mean with our mouths. It means with our feet. It means coming forward and saying, Lord, I'm going to come to the altar. I'm not going to kneel because I can't get up. But I'm going to pray right here standing. That's what the altar call for me is about. It's about an opportunity to come and share the love of Christ with others. Three groups of people. I don't know you all today, but I do know that visitors come and go. And if there's a visitor in here today that's hurting, that says, I don't know this God. I don't know that Jesus is Lord. And I'm going through a difficult time and I don't have joy. How do I get that joy? Well, we heard it's the fruit of the Spirit. And you've got to ask Jesus into your heart to have that joy. And if you're here today, as I look around the room, I don't know where you're at. You may have been attending this church for 15, 20 years, but may not have joy. Well, think about, do you have Jesus in your heart? That's one group of people I want to invite to come to the altar today. The second group of people are those that are going through a difficult time. You're in that storm. And I cannot share James 1, 2 through 4, consider joy when you go through those trials. But I can say God knows your heart. And He knows what you're going through. And God loved you so much that He put Jesus to the cross. But that wasn't the end of the story, you see. There was a resurrection. And if you're one of those that are struggling today, you're concerned about the life of our church. You're concerned about our pastors have all been taken and sent elsewhere to go do other things. Pastor Larry has gone. He retired, but he's out of retirement. And he's serving at churches where there are no pastors, praise God, that he can fill the gap. Pastor Glenn, my brother, has filled the gap in this church. He's the last man standing right now. And I know y'all got a letter. We have a call. There's someone we have that we want to see if God is moving in this direction. Well, church, you need to be praying. You need to be praising God. And maybe you're the third group of people. And I'm looking around the room, and I think most of you are this third group of people. You love the Lord. God is just in your heart, in your thoughts every day. You wake up and you just are glad you have that breath of life. And you're the group of people that love to praise. And I want to encourage you to come also to the altar. So I'm going to give a time to come. And I don't know if we're going to have someone come and just play a little soft music for me to get us going. But I want to extend a time now for you to come to the altar. If you haven't asked Jesus into your heart, you know I want to talk to you. Pastor Glenn would love to talk to you. Buddy would love to talk to you. And I know every single one in here that knows the Lord has their own testimony and their own story that would love to talk to you too. I know when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. In a Sunday school class, I had 20 hands on my shoulders. What a blessing. Today, I'm opening up the altar. There's nothing special about the altar. It doesn't save you. God's not waiting for you to come to the altar. You can praise God where you're at. But sometimes God says, just do something. Just move. The altar is open. If you come forward, I'd love to shake your hand, love to pray with you, and just have a time of praise to our Lord and Savior. Will you come? Where we said that we would love to see this altar filled with revival. If you're here today and you still want to join us, the time to come and praise the Lord is here. I've already had someone come and share and say, I need to share a testimony of what God is doing in my life. And this is a testimony of love for the Lord. And so the time is still here. If you want to pray, the altar is open. Wow. Father, as we come to a time of close of praising and worshiping you, Lord, I just want to say thank you. God, you're an amazing God, and I lift up to you Westminster Baptist Church. I lift up to you the body of Christ that stands before you, God, with praise in their hearts, with joy. And God, I pray that you would use them to make a major impact in this city, in this state, in our country, and in this world. We thank you and love you, Lord, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I do want to share with you, thank you. We're still doing prayer. Wednesday, 7 o'clock. I know it's in the bulletin, it says 6:30, but 7 o'clock. Nancy Bickle has one here. Tuesdays, I think it's Nancy Richter has one, a prayer meeting. Thursdays, the McMichaels have prayer meetings. We're a church of prayer. One of our members wants to share, and he's got a loud voice, and he wants to just share what God is doing in his life and in the life of the church. And he's excited right now that he wants you to know exactly how he has joy and happiness in his heart. Gary?
Thank you. I just felt very blessed when Don said, come up to praise the Lord. First of all, we've been in this church for about 42 years, and it's been a blessing to us from start to finish. It's made a big difference in my wife and my life, and we just thank God for it. And all the exciting things that are happening with Don leaving and going to a new church, with Pastor Tony going to a new church, and with us getting a new pastor perhaps shortly, and with all the things that are going on here, what you can just feel God working in this church right now. And also, amen. In my own life, my wife and I have both been sick, but we're better, and we're back today, going strong. That's got to be God helping us. My teaching ministry, both here at church and at my co-op, is going well. God has been tremendously helpful in all that. And I just feel God working in so many ways in my life, and I just thank him for that. And I just pray that he'll manifest himself in the same way in everybody's life in this room here today.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to sing the first verse, which we all know, and the chorus of Wherever He Leads, I'll Go, and that will close our service today. God bless you all. Dwayne, Wherever He Leads, I'll Go, the first verse. Take up that cross and follow me. Thank you.
Let me get past you guys. I'm going to shake y'all's hands. Love you.